reading from the book of Genesis. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. I will make your reward very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless and have as my heir the steward of my house, Eliezer? Abram continued, See, you have given me no offspring, and so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, No, that one shall not be your heir. Your own issue shall be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so, he added, shall your descendants be. Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession. O Lord God, he asked, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He answered him, Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set, it was dark. There appeared a smoking firepot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Verbum Domini. The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name. Make known among the nations his deeds. Sing to him, sing his praise. Proclaim all his wondrous deeds.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham, and by his oath to Isaac.
The Lord remembers his covenant
forever. Thank you. Dominus vobiscum.
Vestum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancte Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know them." Verbum Domini. Our Lord warns us today of false prophets. This is a situation that recurred throughout the Old Testament. There were quite a number of false prophets that had come up and said things. Usually, the false prophets were prophesying very good things in a bad situation. They would typically tell everybody that they were just fine when things were very bad, especially when the people were behaving very badly. Good kind of example of such a duel between a number of false prophets and the true prophet is in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was warning the people, "You keep on trusting. We have the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." But they were not following the commandments that were preserved in the Ark of the Covenant that was inside the temple of the Lord. It's not just that you have something that the Lord gives us, a gift from God, like the Ten Commandments. There's an expectation that you would live it. Whereas Jeremiah came into the temple and he was wearing an ox yoke. He's put it on his shoulder. And humans also wore yokes so they could carry pails of water or pool things. And he came wearing this, and this is what the king of Babylon will do to us if you don't repent and listen to the word of the Lord and submit to the king for now. And this false prophet came and broke it. And Jeremiah didn't know what to do at first. And the Lord said, "Go make yourself a yoke out of iron and warn the people, yes, the wooden yoke will be broken, and instead you'll have a yoke of iron placed upon you." And furthermore, proof that this is true is that the guy who did this will die fairly soon, which he did. So there are a couple things that we see in terms of these fights between false and true prophets in the Old Testament. And our Lord has that in mind, because there were false teachings going on about him already. In just a few chapters, five chapters after this, we'll see that he is accused of casting demons out by the devil, and that they will accuse him of being on Satan's side. Over the centuries, we have seen lots of false prophets who likewise come up with all kinds of alternative views of Jesus. And it's something that it was already happening in the early church in such a strong way that St. Paul has to teach in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, 2 Corinthians was written only in about 54 AD. This happened quickly. And he said, when somebody comes to you preaching another Christ, they come to you preaching another gospel, and they come to you preaching another spirit. He was already warning them that a church he had founded maybe 3 years earlier, back in 51, was already slipping away from the gospel he had presented. He warns the Galatians of the same thing in chapter 1 of Galatians, that I'm amazed that you are falling away to another Christ. This is an ongoing problem in the face of God giving us his truth and his teaching, and others thinking, that's not quite what I'm interested in. I think I have a better insight than what God has to offer. And such people keep coming up. And I'll say this, with most of the false teachings and false prophets, one of the characteristics of them is that they are very logical. There's a great logic. And this is something I recently was speaking to somebody, a priest friend of mine, who was talking about how he was coming up against some of the Jehovah's Witnesses that were standing outside the only grocery store in his parish and trying to sway his parishioners to a false Christ, the Christ of the Kingdom Hall of the Jehovah's Witnesses, who is in fact, according to their teacher, the Archangel Michael, not God the Son. That's what they teach. And one of the arguments they themselves made is, our view is much more logical than yours about believing in the Trinity. And he, this priest friend of mine, made it clear that yes, by your logic and perhaps mine, but I'm trying to deal with God's revelation, not what I can comprehend with my pea brain. I have a little brain, God has a big one, and I'll follow his logic over my own. Now, our Lord gives us this warning about false prophets. And St. Paul gives us a warning against other Christs, other gospels, other spirits. This is the warning. And then we see our Lord, if you notice, he says at the beginning of the process of the discernment, by their fruits you will know them, and then he ends the section, by their fruits you will know them. This is, this surrounds his teaching as a way to emphasize we pay attention to the fruit. And this is itself something that means we have to recognize that which is of the evil one, what comes from Satan, and what comes from God. We take a look at Jesus' own teaching. What characterizes Satan according to Christ? Take a look at John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44, when he says to the people there that Satan is a liar and the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. So that death and falsehood characterize the tree with thorns, the bad fruit. And this is something that's very important. The reason I mentioned deception and death is that all too often when I hear people say, well, look at the good fruit, what they mean, as I let them talk, is they find an interior peace. They feel peaceful, and people are feeling comfortable. And that is part of the good fruit. But it's not all the good fruit. That's more of the flavor of the fruit than its essence. Just like you have to be careful about what you eat. Some things may be sweet, but it's from false sugar, pseudo sugar, and eventually the aftertaste shows itself when it's not real sugar. But these manufactured things that come out of salt, actually. And we also want to look not only at the peace and the joy, but also at how long that lasts, and is the truth being talked about, and does this lead to either spiritual death or a person moving away from Christ and away from his church, away from his sacraments? That brings spiritual death. Or, as in the case of what we see in much of politics throughout the 20th century, that it leads to physical death. How many false prophets have used death as their ally? Something that the true prophet Isaiah had warned against, whether it be Hitler or the communists or any of the other folks who have come along that use death as one of their tools. And there have been false teachers within Christianity who were all too ready to use death. When death becomes your ready tool to accomplish God's will, or in the case of communists who don't believe in God, another good sign that that's not a true prophet, then there's also just history. They substitute history for God. How will history look at this? What's the historical fruit coming ahead? They'll use that and kill in the name of history far more than people ever killed in the name of God. And the other thing that we also see about the bad fruit is stated by an angel in Revelation chapter 12, where it says, now is, when Satan falls and is defeated by Saint Michael, says, now is the accuser of my brethren fallen, he who accuses them day and night. Because there are many people who use accusation against Christ. You saw false accusations made against him, and over the centuries against his followers. That characterizes the evil one: false accusation, deception, and death. We, on the other hand, look for what characterizes Christ. Opposite of Satan, Jesus calls himself the truth. I am the way, the truth. And then the life. Satan, the murderer, is countered by Christ, who is the life giver. Satan, the liar, is countered by Christ, who gives the truth. And we also see that instead of accusing us day and night, we see that Christ is the one who intercedes for us. He is called, in the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 1, our paraclete, our advocate. He's the one who advocates for us. This is the characteristic of Christ. And we also then look for the other spiritual fruit. St. Paul lists the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. We all do well to contemplate. The fruit of the flesh leads to heresies. It leads to various kinds of sin. Whereas the fruit of the Spirit brings love and joy and peace and kindness and patience. These are things for us to meditate on to see how that fruit works within each of us. And again, not only the fruit of how I feel interiorly, but also the external objective fruit of the truth and being life-giving. Our Lord wants us to be engaged in that process, not only on our own, but as members of the church, and together as church, make that discernment of what our Lord has in store for us.